fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to talk this week about Our Lady of Fatima, the miracle of Fatima. We're celebrating this year the 100th anniversary. The end of the week, October 13th, is the 100th anniversary of the miracle of Fatima. There's so much to that story, and there's so much to the story that applies to us right now. I think that it's very important for us to be able to pay attention to the message that came from heaven, that literally the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, concerned about the condition of the world. In 1917, Mary came to warn the world about an impending war that was going to come about, which became World War I, that would come about as a result, really, of humanity's failure to turn away from their sin, that the human race was offending God deeply. And as a result of that, God was going to permit this war to happen as a punishment for sin. And so here's these cataclysmic, enormously significant, important things are unfolding both in heaven and on earth. God the Father, the creator of all things, and Jesus Christ, His beloved Son, are literally concerned about what happens in the earth. And they're concerned about how human beings made for God, made by God, made in the image and likeness of God, made to love God, be in union with Him, to walk in obedience, to find their fundamental identity in Him. There's a battle going on this fallen earth, and many, many people were offending God at the time. And so God acts, and Jesus sends Mary, His mother, to come to the earth to speak and to reveal what God had planned for the times, and to call people back, to call the world back to God, to call the world to repentance and to repair the wrong that we've done. And what's interesting, and what I mostly want to touch on today, is the mystery of how God works. Instead of going to the kings of the earth or the presidents or going to the White House, going to the power brokers of the world, all the rulers of Europe that were going to be engaged in this World War I and then ultimately World War II as well, God decides when He acts, He goes to three children who live out in the middle of nowhere in Portugal. They're illiterate. One's 7, one's 9, one's 10 years old. They have no power. They have no standing in the world. They have no money. They have no voice. And from a worldly point of view, they literally have no impact in the world from that perspective. And when we look at what we think is important in the world, what we think has real power in the world, we think of money, people of great influence, you think of military power, political power, fame, all kinds of things that to us seem to be so big. But from God's perspective, and this is so clear throughout the Bible, God doesn't see in the strength of men anything special, because it's really not, at the end of the day, doesn't have the power of God in it necessarily, which is the only power that ultimately matters. So God wants to bring about change in the world. What does He do? He sends His mother, the first disciple. Jesus sends His mother, the first disciple, the one who is most conformed to the person of Jesus Christ, whose heart is most fully surrendered to Jesus. Mary's the first disciple because she's the one who's most fully surrendered to Him and the one who first cooperated with this saving work that God the Father has done in His Son, Jesus Christ. Be it done unto me according to thy word. But even with Mary, we see what moves the heart of God, what God's impressed with. God's ways aren't our ways. And what He's impressed with is humility. He's impressed with purity. He's impressed with simplicity. He's impressed with kindness and tenderness and gentleness. All of that was in Mary, basically a child who God used. God went to her and announced His plan through her yes to bring literally the incarnate Son of God into the world, to participate at the highest possible level in the work of salvation, God's plan. And because of her purity, because of her yes, God was able to do great things in her, and He's drawn her into the life of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to say she's divine like the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because she's not. She's a creature. But she's the most profoundly transformed of all of God's creation. That's how much her absolute surrender to God's purpose and plan, and her humility in receiving all that God wanted, and her constant yes to God. That's how the work of Jesus Christ is revealed in a human heart, and how far it can get if someone says yes to God. But again, what does God do when he wants to bring about the great cataclysmic work of revealing his Son in the earth, of God taking on human flesh, engaging the battle against the kingdom of darkness, destroying its power, bringing new life, salvation, redemption to the world? What does he do? Does he go through the kings of the earth? Does he go through the movers and shakers and the people of Israel, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, or people with money, or kings? No. He chooses the simple, the small, the humble. That's what attracts the heart and mind of the Lord. The Lord raises it up. He raised Mary up because he wants the whole world to see. You might say, what does it mean to be authentically human? What does an honorable life look like? What does a good life look like? It's characterized by humility and purity, simplicity, love for God, love for neighbor. It just radiates from Our Lady, and as we know, radiates from the saints. So God chooses her to do the greatest work in human history and to engage in the most profound spiritual battle in the history of life on earth, the battle between the two kingdoms. So now you move the tape forward. Mary is crowned Queen of Heaven and Earth. She's there having come into a share in her Son's glory. Scripture's so clear that we are destined to participate in the divine nature. You and I, all those who are baptized into Christ, God the Father's hope and desire, his plan is that the entire human race would come into relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ, to repent of their sins, to be born again by water and the Spirit, so they can receive the power to become children of God. That's the Father's plan. So here in 1917, two great wars are about to unfold in the next 50 years. And the wars, as according to Mary and what she revealed, they're directly related to the sins of the human race, the rebellion of the human race against God, ignoring God, saying no to God, disobeying God's commands. And war is a direct punishment for sin, is what she makes clear. But God sends her to bring a word to the earth on behalf of God. She's God's messenger. And when God comes to speak, when he comes to the world, who does he want to hang out with? Where does he go? To the small, to the humble, to the pure, to the simple. And as I said earlier, he goes to three children, Lucia, Francesco, and Jacinta, these three children. And God uses Mary to bring his plan to the earth through these three children. And we'll talk about it as the week goes on. But I think there's something that it can be easily missed that it's important for us to pay attention to in who God chooses and why he chooses the small and the humble and the powerless in this world. One, God's not impressed with power. Human pride, God resists the proud, Scripture said. And it's very easy in this world to be caught up in what the world values more than what God values. To be in positions of leadership, but be filled with pride and hubris. It doesn't have to be that way. But in many places in the world, the way power is exercised, the way influence is exercised, with people with significant natural gifts who have accomplished a lot, there's oftentimes a great deal of pride, and that is self-reliance, and not much reference to God going on in the case. You see that today even in the political world, how political leaders in the world are seduced by the spirit of the age to excise God, to exile God from the public square, and to constantly push themselves forward and constantly push their ideas forward. And wouldn't say that our current political situation is one that's characterized by humility, kindness, goodness, even gentleness, the characteristics of the Son of God. But these children had it. They had that kind of purity. And God could speak to them and entrust to them this revelation because I think he knew in their pure hearts they would believe him. They would have childlike faith. Remember what Jesus said, how important it is to be like a child? Unless you become like a little child, actually you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. And so Jesus is raising up these children, and he's showing us something about what pleases God. That childlikeness pleases God. And part of that childlikeness is the willingness, is the capacity to be captivated by God, to have wonder fill your heart, and then to obey what God reveals. That's exactly what we see in the children of God. In those three children, they receive the revelation that comes through Mary, and then they completely dial in with God's grace. They keep saying yes to God's grace, and he uses them to become mighty intercessors. They're saints now, even though the two young ones, Francisco and Jacinta, just lived a couple of years. They died not long after the apparitions, but during that time, God showed how even a little child can hear his word, that even a little child can be commissioned and have a mission in this world. And even a simple child that's illiterate could live in a way that expresses great wisdom and can be a conduit and a source of God's wisdom for the salvation of the world. Great responsibility was put upon these children. And what's revealed is that when the human heart rests in God, when we live as children of God, when we find our identity fundamentally as children of God, God can do great things through us. He can entrust many things to us because our hearts are directed toward him and we're living in obedience and surrender to him. And we're not looking to push our own agendas forward. We're not primarily preoccupied with what we want to create, but we're captivated by the Creator. That, friends, is the very heart that God wants to work into you and me. What the apostles saw and discovered was that God gave them power to become children of God. And in 1 John, he says, see what love the Father has given to us, that we've become children of God, and so we are. That's what it means to be baptized. We're baptized into Christ by water and the Spirit. By God's grace, we're regenerated. We become the children of God. And what the Lord's after is that we would, through this regeneration, walk by the Spirit, who will teach us, who will purify us, who will give us the power that we need to surrender to God's will and purpose in each one of our lives. And in that constant step forward, one step at a time, and surrendering and living according to the Spirit, what he does is he forms in us the image of Jesus. We start to bear the fruits of Jesus Christ, and we literally become now more and more from the inside out, we live as children of God. Humble, simple, loving, surrendered, obedient, trusting, and as a result, captivated by God's love, mercy, and goodness, and our hearts directed him, he can do great things through us. But what we battle with in this world is our own ego, our own pride, our need to be the center, our need to create our own identity, and to have our identity in this world to be our own achievement, rather than something we receive from God as God's gift. That's why our identities are so fragile and screwed up most of the time, because it's something we create or a false identity we get from the world instead of resting in our identity as children of God, the most dignified thing that can be said about us. Friend, that's who you are. Remember today, you're a son of God or you're a daughter of God. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.